Welcome back to Page of the Wind. It's the daily podcast where we read a page of the Name of the Wind and then talk about it. This is page 268, and if you're following along in the 10th anniversary edition, it's page 257. And which knight was that? Sim pressed. Manet paused, looking down at his tray. Felling knight? Willem shook his head, muttering something in Shiaru. Simon looked horrified. Manet, yesterday was Sendling. Has it been 2 days since you've slept? Probably not, Manet said uncertainly. I always lose track of things during admissions. There aren't any classes. It throws off my schedule. Besides, I've been caught up in a project in the fishery. He trailed off, scrubbing at his face with his hands, then looked up at me. They're right. I'm a little off my head right now. Tecum, Septigy, folklore, and all that. It's a bit bookish for me, but a fine thing to study. I didn't mean any offense. None taken, I said easily, and nodded at Savoy's tray. Slide that over here, would you? If our young noble's not coming back, I'll have his bread. After Simon took me to sign up for classes, I made my way to the archives, eager to have a look around, after all these years of dreaming. This time, when I entered the archives, there was a young gentleman sitting behind the desk, tapping a pen on a piece of paper that bore the marks of much rewriting and crossing out. As I approached, he scowled and scratched out another line. His face was built to scowl. His hands were soft and pale. His blinding white linen shirt and richly dyed blue vest reeked of money. The part of me that was not long removed from Tarbin wanted to pick his pocket. He tapped his pen for another few moments before laying it down with a vastly irritated sigh. Name, he said without looking up. Quoth. He flipped through the ledger, found a particular page, and frowned. You're not in the book. He glanced up briefly and scowled again before turning back to whatever verse he was laboring over. When I made no signs of leaving, he flicked his fingers as if shooing away a bug. Feel free to piss off. I've just... Ambrose put down his pen again. Listen, he said slowly, as if explaining to a simpleton. You're not in the book. He made an exaggerated gesture toward the ledger with both. That's the page. I'm Nick.
I'm Jordana.
I'm Jeremy. And oh boy, we get to meet everyone's favorite character.
That's right, and he's introduced not with a bang, but with a bit of bureaucracy. Now, I've been harping again and again on something that really bugged me with Ambrose's introduction, and it's on this page, and so I'm glad I get to talk about it. I've mentioned over and over that Quoth / Rothfuss has this thing they do where they mention a character's name before the character has ever been introduced. And on this page, it's particularly egregious to me because we are referred to, this young man, a young gentleman sitting behind a desk, and it's the gentleman, his hands, his this, and then out of nowhere, they start a sentence with, Ambrose put down his pen again. When I first read this book, I was like, wait, what? Who's Ambrose? What's an Ambrose? And there's no, you know, Quoth doesn't say, I would later learn that this guy's name was Ambrose, or it was warned earlier on that there's Ambrose out there, and he puts together this guy's Ambrose. No. Just out of nowhere, Ambrose did this. I found that very shocking. I found that very, like, I've never noticed that in a book before. I've never noticed such a, like, out of nowhere naming of a character in the middle of a scene without any real preamble. And at first it really bothered me. Now, since then, I've come to think that maybe this is something, because Quoth does a similar thing several times with naming characters, but never this abruptly. And I mean, names are important. Maybe this is an indication of Quoth's ability to just, like, name people. But I was very shocked when it first happened to me.
Hmm. See, this did not register to me at all on any level until you brought it up. And now that I read it, I go, oh, this is just an easy author's trick of getting around the incredible awkwardness of having to introduce a character by name, which is a really, like, tedious, cumbersome thing to have to do. In the same way as, like, figuring out how is a book described in first person? How do I justify this character describing themselves? How do you justify, like, having a, like, handshake, nice to meet you, my name is, for every character? It just gets tedious, so why not just skip it?
I like the idea that this might be, like, Quoth knowing someone's name without actually having to be introduced to them. I like the idea that that might be an option. But it also just never bothered me that he suddenly introduces Ambrose.
Yeah.
Oh, it bothers me so much. It would have been so easy to have Quoth go, I would later learn that this was Ambrose, in just a one-off line, and then start referring to him as Ambrose. But just from now on in the scene, he's called Ambrose, but there's never any moment where he goes, this was Ambrose.
Mm. Yes.
I understand why that bothers you. I'm not personally bothered by it, but it makes sense to me that it would bother someone.
Yeah.
But I also really, really hope that the reason that that happens is, in fact, because like Quoth can name people.
Yeah. I don't think it actually is that. It might, you know, refer to the larger theme of that, but I am bothered. My jimmies are rustled.
I am sorry for your jimmies. You know, may they become smooth in time.
Thank you. I feel heard, even though you don't seem to agree with me, but that's fine. I went into this scene kind of hoping that I could indict Quoth for bad behavior to sort of like and say like Quoth is just as guilty of being a jerk to Ambrose as Ambrose was to him. But no.
No, Ambrose is just a dick for no reason.
Yeah, right out of the gate.
Except that he is a dick, born and bred.
Right out of the gate. There's very hard. I mean, we'll look at the next page and see if Quoth escalates it. But there's really no getting by that like Ambrose was unnecessarily mean to Quoth.
Mm-hmm.
Right at the beginning.
Rothfuss, after you, Jordana.
Oh, I was just going to comment on the description of Ambrose's hands.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say that, too.
Because
yeah.
We did make a note that we would remember when hands were mentioned in the book. I think it was mostly meant for Quoth's hands, but in this case, we're talking about Ambrose, so.
Yes, I definitely skimmed over this description. I don't know that it made a hugely detailed impression on me, but reading it, page at a time, the fact that his hands are soft and pale speaks to so much. It tells us instantly this guy has never had to work a hard day in his life.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And his outfit, while it doesn't read to me as particularly opulent, it clearly does to Quoth because mm-hmm. it's white. It's very white and richly dyed. Like, it's not the intricate... it's not like Savoy's outfit. It's not like it's full of feathers and pomp, but Quoth recognizes what it actually means. Like, even if it's a simple...
He's rich enough to have clean white linen and richly dyed blue something.
Exactly. Even if it's a simple outfit, it speaks of money to Quoth.
And that also tells us that maybe, like, because Ambrose is a Commonwealth noble, right? He's not, like...
He's from the Pirate Isles. I don't know exactly where
on the map.
They're not on the map.
So let us assume...
But presumably, as I understand it, they're kind of... southwest of the Commonwealth. They're sort of down here as I'm gesturing outside of the book. Mm. So they're sort of like southwest of the map, so they might fall within the Commonwealth.
Okay. Well, then that tells us that Commonwealth nobility's fashion maybe is a little less ostentatious than the fashions of the Modagan nobility.
Perhaps. Certainly, well, Modagan, I think, is meant to be like a step above, like beyond the rest of the ostentatiousness of the other cultures.
I do have just a few more notes on Ambrose, him right now.
Shoot.
He has a face built to scowl,
mm-hmm.
which I kind of sense as the more in-world definition of resting bitch face.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% Ambrose has resting bitch face.
Which, like, not everyone who has that affliction is actually, like, a scowly person. Some people just are, unfortunately, like, they just have that. Some people rock it, some people not so much. He also, he reeked of money because of his clothing, which we kind of already covered. And Quoth wants to pickpocket him.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was, like, just a nice bit of sort of, like, a comedy.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, and I enjoy that it slid in there. It's not taking up too much space, it's not distracting, but it is funny and it's enjoyable.
And it reminds us that, you know, where Quoth has been, you know, where he's coming from.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah, to keep us, as readers, consistently aware of Quoth's past as well as his present is, I think, important. That's it for me and stuff for Ambrose. I do have other notes, but I want to make sure we've all, like, talked out Ambrose before.
There's a lot of Ambrose to come in the chapter, so why don't we put him on a shelf and, in a box.
Throw things at him.
Yeah.
All right, then I would like to cover a bit of Savoy. Well, actually, no, this has very little to do with Savoy. It has to do with his bread. So, much in the way that they talk about Quoth wanting to pickpocket Ambrose, he takes Savoy's bread, which is just, again, a reminder that, like, food is more important than just about anything. Because, like, you need food to survive.
Yeah, and someone
he's
who's been in
surviving.
Abject poverty, well, yeah, would never let food go.
Although I feel like that's, like, obviously we know that it's because Quoth is, comes from a very difficult, circumstance. But whomst amongst us, as a student, tight on cash, was not like, oh, you're not going to finish that? Thank you.
I mean, I wasn't like that as a student tight on cash, but I also don't eat, like, the amount of food I think that the majority of my friends ate, because the majority of my friends were like 6 foot plus men, and I don't hold as much food as that. I did have a lot of my food taken, though.
You gotta get good at jabbing people in the hands with your fork.
Yes. I will work on that skill. I had other notes, if you guys...
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So, the fisheries are mentioned here. Is this the first time that the fisheries are mentioned as, like, a what you might be doing in them kind of thing? Like, he says he has a project in the fisheries that he's working on.
I think it's the first time they're mentioned at all, and this is a cool piece of the style of world building where you just drop a term in that the reader has no context for, and we don't really, like, know what he means. I've been caught up in a project in the fishery. I might have thought he literally meant, yes, I've been, like, farming a new kind of salmon, you know? Because we don't find out until a fair bit later what fishery actually means.
Yeah. I definitely skimmed this on the first read, just being like, oh yeah, he has a project, that makes sense, he's in school. Mm-hmm. But upon second read, and I think that this is a bit of a reward for people who are second readers, to know what the fishery is and to know that he's working on a project in the fishery now means a lot more to us.
Yeah.
So, it was nice. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's not really an explanation of what the fishery is here. It's just there.
And it tells us something about Manet's character, that he's such a full-time, you know, student that when there aren't classes, his whole life gets thrown out of whack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, admissions are a hiccup for him, a speed bump.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's a bit of an insomniac right now. Do we think that that's a regular thing for him?
I do. I think he forgets to sleep because he's too into whatever it is he's doing.
Mm. Which may, I wonder if that is a characteristic that Rothfuss has had. If Rothfuss is the kind of guy who would like stay up super late because he was like really into a project.
I mean, I feel like everyone's had that moment at least once. I just don't know if it's a constant for everybody.
Mm. I only bring it up because Manet is sort of Rothfuss's author insert.
Right, yes.
Mm-hmm.
That is all for my notes on this page.
I'm just about out as well, although I have a lot to talk about in the next couple pages.
Why don't we get to them then?
All right then.
Do we mail today?
Oh yeah, we have a lot of mail, so let's get through a
mailbag.
Let's get through another one. It's a short one today. This is from Margaret. A while back, we were wondering about what a cord of wood was. Margaret has the answer. A cord of wood is a stack 8 feet long, 4 feet wide, and 4 feet high. To get through the cold season, Quoth would need lots of firewood, so cord on cord means he has prepared for the winter. Signed, Margaret.
That's really cool. Margaret, I had no idea.
Today I learned. Thank you, Margaret.
Yep.
And so did everybody listening.
That's right. A cord of wood is a stack of wood 8 feet long, 4 feet wide, and 4 feet high.
I really hope that I can remember that.
For all your wood stacking to come.
You know what? It's just nice to know stuff.
It will be a long, cruel winter, Jordana. Alrighty.
Yep. Well, as long as you have kept everything in accordance with the fire marshal.
You and your punniness.
This isn't pun of the wind, Nick.
It can be. I mean, it's whatever we make it.
So now we can make puns about cords of wood because now we know what they are.
That's right. And everyone else will look at us all weird, wide-eyed, like, what?
Yes.
I don't. And then we can say, ah, read this email from a listener.
Okay, listeners.
Let's call it. This has been page 268. I've been Nick.
I'm always Jordana.
I'm Jeremy. We are proud members of the Dork Shelf Podcast Network.
And this
we'll
has
see you
been
tomorrow.
Page
of
the
wind.